You go ahead and take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, that's the fifth book of that, of the five writings of Moses, which is referred to as the Pentateuch. And we'll look at that here just for a little bit here tonight. And as we look at this, I've got a new Bible in front of me here. Well, it's not new. I've had it for some time. And my old Bible, I'm trying to retire it. I refer to it as my preaching Bible. And I call it my 2-7 Bible, my 2-5-7 Bible. And simply believing in that is this. The Bible itself doesn't weigh but 2 pounds, but I've got 5 pounds worth of tape on it holding it together. So I don't know how I'm going to do with this one tonight, because it's what they refer to as a wide margin Bible. I'm sure that you've seen them, Pastor. It's got the little bitty print in it. It's got the big wide margins around it. They refer to it as a preacher's Bible. And I know you're probably sitting there saying, well, what in the world are you doing with it? Amen. Y'all get that after a while. But as we look at this, I'm going to try my best. So if you see my nose kind of buried down into the pages, you'll know what's going on. But if you would, in reverence to the reading of the Word of God, please stand with me. And tonight, with the Lord's help, I want to strive to bring to you something maybe that will be of heightened encouragement and assurance, in which seemingly before us, beloved, in these discouraging but yet unsure times, as the pastor's already mentioned here tonight. But we still need to be reminded that God is still on the throne, and that God is still in control, and God still has the final word in it all. So we must keep that in mind as we go through. I'm not going to be long-winded. I've got a lot to preach. Probably this will be about a 3- or 4-part message, but I'm trying to streamline it for sake of time here tonight. But looking here in verse number 17, if everybody's in your place, say amen. Amen. All right, verse 17, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and His testimonies and His statutes which He hath commanded thee. Are these commandments still in place today? Well, I'll tell you they are, amen. The Bible says in verse 18, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. The message tonight, the text is being taken here from verse 23. With this thought, he brings us out to bring us in. He brings us out of one thing to bring us in to something else. Amen. Keep that in mind and in thought as we try to preach here tonight. Lord, we do thank Thee, Father, for this opportunity, this invitation, God, to stand before Thy people. Lord, I just pray, God, that You'd help me tonight. God, that You'd take this old unworthy servant, Lord, that You'd just use me here just for a little while to help and encourage and maybe bless Thy people, Lord. And God, may it be pleasing to You for that which You've brought before us here tonight. And Lord, we'll surely thank You and we'll praise You for all that You do in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Beloved, God is in an ongoing progressive plan to bring man unto Himself. You know, He created man to bring forth a people that would be His inheritance in the building of that of His glorious kingdom, which is going to be eternal throughout all the ages to come. and foreseen in God's omniscience, though, in that He created man, providing him with an innate nature, in that of having a free will choice, it would also create difficult conditions and circumstances that would have to be worked out through having times of disruptiveness, and also that of being disconnected and disobedient in that of the behavior of His people. And this conduct presented many times and events resulting in that of God's judgments. And God's judgments, beloved, brings that of consequences that are detrimental to that of the people's well-being and that of their betterment. But God is still sitting in judgment, and God is still chastening even unto this day. Why? And that is simply the answer to give to you to hear tonight, is to bring His people there unto righteous subjection to do what? To walk in His ways. And may God help us. And beloved, He refers to us, His people. Now I'm speaking of national Israel as well as the church, because we're going to see something relevant and that is reflected unto us in the Scriptures that we must try to grab hold of and cling to, beloved. He refers to us as His own. Beloved, the people of Israel is God's own people. The church is God's own people. And as we look at this, He refers to these people of the Old Testament economy, of that of being His chosen and being His elect. In fact, there is a couple, several different places where He refers to Israel as His peculiar treasure. But let me say this to you, beloved, in this regard. We still, even though that we're chosen and even so we're elect, and listen, we're a peculiar people too, it says there in the writing of Peter. And yes, we are His chosen. And yes, we are His elect by the very Word of God. But as we look here, we still fail to be the people that God has called us out to be, whether it be Israel or whether it be the church. We need to look on this because we're going to some place, beloved, that we need to firm up into that of our understanding as a people of God. But in like manner, let me say this, to much extent, the same that goes on with the people of God, that of Israel, beloved, is also going ongoing in our churches. It's still called what? Disobedience, disconnect, disruptiveness. And we need to bring this all together into that which God has for us. That's the purpose that God is bringing us out to bring us in to Himself, to be a holy and a righteous people. Now, in only brief reviewing for that of the sake of time, I'm trying to do my best here to streamline this. But we're going to look back historically to a couple or so highlighted events where, beginning with Adam, beloved, He brought Adam out of the dust of the ground of the earth. Now you think about this. The first was Adam to be brought out, to bring him in to Himself. And then moving on in time and many generations of peoples, and that of kings and kingdoms progressing on to that of the destined prepared place, fulfilling God's bringing out of that of Israel and that of the church to bring unto Himself. Now, en route to the land of promise, the good land, Canaan land, the land that's flown with milk and honey, beloved, we can see this ongoing, and again, I'm trying to hasten to get through this, a part of the message tonight. But if we would look at Abraham in chapter 12 of the Word of God, that we see where Abraham is brought out, that of Haran, out of the land of Hur. And God has commissioned him, called him out to take him to uncharted territories into a land. But this is, as described by God, that to be a good land. And that good land, beloved, is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And that land, beloved, is described also through the Scriptures as being that of Canaan land. And then we can see that from descendants down from Abraham going to that of Jacob, who is later named Israel, beloved, they was brought out of a land of famine. to be taken into a land of prosperity at that time, which was Egypt. See, God is always, beloved, through the Scriptures, bringing His people out to bring them in to something else. And as we look at this and go on just a little bit farther, we see that in time, as it goes on, that Pharaohs come and Pharaohs go, and an evil Pharaoh, my friends, takes his place on the throne there of Egypt, and the people fall in that of destitution and that of captivity and the oppressions and the afflictions that goes along with it. And God even exclaims in the book of Exodus, there in chapters 2 and chapters 3, beloved, that He had seen the afflictions. He had seen the oppressions of the people, and He has heard their cries. So God then what? Commissions Moses to go in to bring the people out. And He brings him out there in a later time through that bondage there to the wilderness journey. And there in the wilderness journey, beloved, they're still paving their way, or should I say that God is still paving their way to get to that land of promise. But as I've already stated here in the preference of the message, beloved, is that the people in their willful and intentional what? Disobedience. And let me say this to you tonight. All disobedience is sin. And sin is disobedience, beloved. It walks hand in hand. These people got within 11 days of going into the promised land, and through their evil ways of disobeying God, not going into the land of promise, as God had already gave it to them. God was not saying, if you'll get there, I'll show you what I want to give you. God had already said unto them, I give you the land, amen. Amen. That was His covenant with Abraham back in the book of Genesis. But as we can see, beloved, through times, and you can read this at your leisure, we see through that disobedience, as I said, the people were set aside. They were placed on the sidelines, so to speak. And there you can read all through the book of Numbers into Deuteronomy, and then even venture into the book of Joshua, and you can see that there is a finality ultimately to this journey, to where they actually come in to that day and that time into the utopia that God has promised them. God has brought them in to that place. Now, just for a little while, I want to fast forward. We're in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, but we're going to fast forward so that we can get a summation on this. Beloved, let me say this to you, that there's not enough time to touch on this Scripture and another Scripture, but we want to look at this thing in the perspective that it is given, that to the Apostle Paul in his writing in the book of Hebrews. And yes, I believe Paul to be the writer. But if we'll look over here in Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll get some better insight on this and what is said here. Now, I want you to know and I want you to understand, I hate these songs. Well, I don't really hate them in that sense, but I dislike, I'll use the word dislike, these songs and these preachings and these teachings that tries to portray, listen, heaven as that of Canaan land. I'm here to say to you tonight, Canaan land is not heaven. And heaven is not Canaan land. Just like Israel is not the church, and the church is not Israel. And we're going to see this makeup, even though they picture one another in likenesses, they are different unto God and to us. Now, as we look here, I want you to watch with me as what we read. As we look at this chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, this is what is referred to commonly as the Hall of Faith. And we see of the Old Testament patriarchs that God is honoring in here in His Word, such as Abel and Enoch and Noah and so on. And we come down to Abraham in verse number 8. And the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. God's promise hasn't changed. Now listen. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then he goes on down here in verse 13, when it's given honor and recognition to that of those who have died in that faith as they have walked with God. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Beloved, let me say this to you. They was in a place. They was a place of that of a land flowing with milk and honey, the good land, Canaan land. Now notice as we look on here just a little bit farther, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, notice this, but now they desire a better country that is and heavenly. Did you catch it? They desire a heavenly, just as the church today, tonight, desires that which is heavenly. Beloved, we are in our Canaan land right now. When God called us out of the wilderness land and saved us by His marvelous grace and His compassions and His pity and His mercy unto us, beloved, when God did this, He established us for our goings. He brought us in to Canaan land immediately at that time. Every single one of us tonight could stand and attest before God that He has blessed us with our present day Canaan land. Thank God. But I'm looking for something better tonight. I appreciate what God has done for me. The blessings of the Lord and all that He has provided for that of my sustenance. And beloved, I'm saying this to you. I prefer, I desire, I look forward, I look afar off, and not as far off as what these did, but I'm still looking, beloved, to that of the heavenly tonight. And I trust that each and every one here can also do the same. And then he goes on to say, that is an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. You know, Jesus said in those words when He was talking to His disciples, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. And beloved, beyond that, of this place of preparation, there's a lot more to it that we can see. Now, let me just read to you here just a verse here in over here in the book of Isaiah chapter 64. You don't have to turn there because I'm just pulling up to the curb and I'm taking back off again. But look what it says unto us here in verse number 4 of Isaiah 64. Just listen. He says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside Thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth for Him." Not only has God prepared for us that celestial city, New Jerusalem Church, He's also going to give us all of the heavenly amenities that goes with it. Praise God. Amen. And just to show you that we share in likeness Israel with the church, we can look at what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. He says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Listen, beloved, what a glorious hope for Israel, and what a glorious hope for the church tonight. Still bringing us out to bring us in. Amen. We ain't got there yet. We're still on the move. We're pilgrims on the move. But let's go back just here momentarily, if we may, beloved, as we look further here in the Word of God. I want to go back to chapter 62. Chapter 62, if you'll turn there with me. And I've got to say this. It's in like humor. And Pastor, don't you get mad at me. You got everybody laughing here earlier in the service, and here I'm trying to get the giggles out of them to preach a little bit. But I was leaving last Sunday morning, And I went out the door. The pastor, he may or may not remember this, I don't know. But I said to you, brother, I said, you kind of stepped in on some of my text that the Lord was giving me. And he sat there and he studied on it. And you know what? You're not going to get the last word with the pastor, amen. I had already stepped away and was walking away, had done taken 3 or 4 steps, and he turns around and he says, hey, brother, only thing I can tell you is God must be in it, amen. I appreciate that, knowing that the Lord is in it. I believe His good word, beloved, everybody needs to be in it, praise God. But as we look here, I want to just kind of dissect this, and I believe he extracted about one verse maybe two out of here when he was preaching on no more. But let's look at this, and let's just take it because this is important. But before we preface this reading, I want something of understanding with you here tonight. And that is that we need to properly and appropriately interpret the writing which relates to both Israel and the church, both having that of similar likenesses or is picturesque in comparison as if the same. I didn't say the same, as if the same. Now, there's all kinds of theological terms that you can use for this in interpreting the Scriptures. I think the pastor even mentioned, it's been several weeks back, about hermeneutics. Well, I got a book on hermeneutics probably 20 years ago. I looked at the first 3 pages and I said, this is too far over my head. I laid it down and I left it, amen. Me too. But I do know this, the Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us in all manner of truth. And I believe what we have here, like I said, when we have Israel, when you have the church, you have something in likenesses, even though they are not the same. And again, there's another doctrine which is called that of amillennialism. You know, we're premillennialists, and you have postmillennialists, but you have amillennialists also, which structures themselves to teach that that Israel will ultimately be the spiritual church. But that's not according to the Word of God. That's not according to what the Word of God says unto us. We need to rightly divide the Word of truth. In fact, beloved, we are commanded through the Word of God in that of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Beloved, that's what we're doing here tonight. And it says in 2 Timothy 2 and 15 to rightly divide the Word of truth. And beloved, that's what we seek and that's what we look for. But there's some other things that we need to make mention of in this regard. The promises, the covenants that was made to Israel was that of materialistic. And we see this, beloved, evident in that which the possessions of the lands that God had given to His people. But in that of comparing spiritual things with spiritual, rightly dividing the word of the truth, to the church, the promises that God has given us is that of spiritual. Heavenly and spiritual, beloved. Now, let me say this to you. In the end, and the outcome of all of this, Israel be restored. Israel will be restored, and the church will be in its place that God has set aside for it, the place that He has prepared. But as we look at this here, just a little bit more in depth, I want to look, beginning with verse number 1 of chapter 62, for it says, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth." Listen, beloved, God is not going to rest until the people drop the scales from their eyes and see Him and know Him for who He is. And that is simply, He is Messiah. They've never gained that sight of Him. But beloved, as we look here, and I'm going to kind of interject this maybe even before time. But here we are 2,000 years since Christ made His appearance in this world, going to a cross and dying for their sins. The people of Israel, the Jew, rejected Him then. And overall today, they still reject Him. I thank God for Jewish missionaries. Beloved, if you ever want to invest something really into something that is of such importance and worth to that of our people, of God and in God, my friends, we need to support Jewish missionaries that are taking the gospel of Jesus Christ into that land and preaching it. Yes, we've had many Jewish converts in this day and time. And beloved, I pray to God, and I believe that God is kind of fooling and messing and maybe trying to trickle down those scales that's on their eyes right now. Now let me say this. This may sound emboldened, but I believe it to be true in all my heart. I believe that the most problems of Israel in this day and in this time is because of the rejection of Messiah. Let me say this to you. We talk about the movement of God. God either sends it or God allows it. Say, well, preacher, is there any other options? Beloved, that's it. God either sends it upon you or God allows it to come upon you. It's all in control of His mighty hand. But beloved, let me say this to you, and I'm not going to get in, like I said, I'm a little premature on bringing that, but I just want to establish so that you can meander that thought within your mind as we go forward through here. Looking down here in verse number 2, the Bible says, "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called," listen to this, "by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." We were singing that song, I think it was this morning, "Got a New Name Written Down in Glory. And I know that it's mine." Now this was several hundreds of years before Christ's coming, my beloved. And as we look at this, we can see, as I have already exclaimed to you, beloved, so many likenesses that we can see that can have that of pertaining to the people of Israel can also be reflected on thus the church. Because, you know, the Word of God says over in Revelation chapter 3 about another people that has a new name. And as we look over that, I'm going to just turn there real quickly, if I may, in the book of Revelation in chapter 3. The good Lord is talking to the people of the church there at Philadelphia. That's the 6 churches of the 7 churches of Asia Minor. And there, my friends, this is the true and the faithful church, as is exclaimed in the Scriptures. Now, you got to remember, there was 2 churches that received favorable commendation. But then there were 5 churches that received condemnation. There's a little bit different spelling in the 2. But here we see the church of Philadelphia, this remnant, my friends, that walked faithfully with God. He says here in verse 12, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out." Pastor, there's another "no more out." "And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem." Who's going to be in New Jerusalem? Wave your hand, praise God. That's where you're headed if you're saved. He says, "I'm going to have the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God." Now notice this, "And I will write upon him my new name." Dale's done gone, but Brother Ralph, that's the reason we can sing that song. I've got a new name in glory. It's his name that is written upon the saints of God. Aren't you glad you belong to him tonight? Amen. Oh, yeah, let's just look here just a little bit further of what he's saying. And not only that, we look here in verse 3, the Bible says, "Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God." Beloved, can I remind you in this regard, the crowns that we have, and listen, I pray to God that at least each one of us would have a crown to lay at his feet, beloved. But let me say this to you. We'll have those crowns to lay at his feet And beloved, it's going to be a coronation day like one that we have never seen, that we've never partaken in before, beloved. It's going to be a day never to be forgotten. But I think about the saints of God there in Revelation chapter 4. They're referred to as the 24 elders, beloved. This is a picture of the church in heaven, amen. Let's get a little bit spiritual and let thus speaketh the word of God to us. Here we can see this, beloved, and the Bible says unto us in those words, He says, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sit on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, What? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Praise God, He created man, He created the chosen people of Israel, and He has created the church, praise God. All things are by Him, amen. Total control. And then we move down to verse number 4. Thou shalt no more, there's another no more, be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. Beloved, I'm going to say this to you. And we've already touched on it. I've been kind of just prepping you along. I kind of soften you up a little bit so that this will permeate, and not only permeate, but saturate into your spirit, beloved. Still at this day and time, as we look at those two words, forsaken and desolate, and notice that both are capitalized. Both are capitalized. And the reason both are capitalized, because it pertains to that of Israel. He says unto them, there shall no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. Still at this day, listen to me, still at this day, in this time, beloved, they are still forsaken and desolate. God hasn't forgot His people. But because of their rejection and disobedience unto God, they still have not been restored. Isaiah is prophesying of that of the restoration of Israel, praise God, with the likenesses as we see of that of the church in our own selves. So we see this full restoration of Israel in that day coming, beloved. Let me say this to you. Israel has experienced so much heartbreak and heartaches and sufferings. You go all the way back, and you can go back as far as you want to, but let's just touch on a couple real quickly. And I'm trying to rush through, Pastor. Just be patient with me. As we look here, beloved, look at the Egyptian captivity. Look at the Assyrian captivity. Look at the Babylonian captivity. And then, beloved, when you move on into the New Testament, you can see that of the Roman Empire that came down upon them. And then, beloved, the first several centuries of the church age, beloved, they were under severe persecution. And then, beloved, as you move on into the Middle Ages, they had religious revolts and that of different things that was ongoing, and religious persecution, beloved, that still was coming down on God's people. How soon should we forget, just in our modern day, in this day and time, as we look back to that of the Holocaust, the Jewish Holocaust. Listen, beloved, 6 million Jews died in that campaign brought on God's people. How many total has been killed, slain over there in Israel at this point in time? It seemed like I heard 44,000 and some or something like that. I'm not sure what the count is. But just stop and see if you can fathom 6 million. 6 million of God's people have suffered. And then, beloved, as we look here in this day and time, only beyond that, beloved, we can see all of the activities in this country that's ongoing of where the anti-Semitism, beloved, is being and prevailing everywhere and anywhere. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to get started on this. God help me, but I'm going to just say it and I'm going to move on. Every single one of that bunch in Congress needs to be run out of Washington. On the rail. They are responsible for all of this. First and foremost, they are supposed to be the leadership of this country, and all that's ongoing is this time of it is decaying within this country. About that of our own Congress people, my friends, putting down Israel, supporting Palestine and all the rest. There you've got Jordan, you've got Syria, and you've got Lebanon, you've got the rest of those Arabic nations, beloved, that are enemies of Israel and enemies of God. Yes, Brother Richard, you can go ahead and publish that. I don't back off of any of it, brother. I'm still hard, fast, and steady on what I'm trying to say to you here tonight. And then our college campuses. I wish these people would go out and get them a job, amen. And I wish that sorry Congress would create a job for them that they could go to instead of wanting to cause problems. And look what all has happened. As I said, our congresspeople and then our high and mighty colleges of renown, Hartford and Princeton, all the rest of that bunch, my friends, that are being supported in this stuff, in this activity. And then, beloved, I'll go ahead and say this. If black lives matter, why don't they do something about it, amen, themselves? Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Listen. We need to have pity on these ones. And ongoing, as I said, to this day, the assault that's on Israel. You got Hamas, you got Hezbollah, you got ISIS, and you got Jihad, and you got Iran, and you got known and on the unknown. Hey, listen, my friends, these are nothing, as it's been stated time and time again, but terrorists. What you've got is nothing more than a bunch of street thugs riding around in Toyota pickups with machine guns on the back, or either they're on a trail bike with a rifle hanging on their back. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. I believe in using a tank and jet fighters, my friends, to take care of wars and problems. That's what we're dealing with. I would to God that we could lower or raise our standards of dealing with these people, whatever it takes. But God still hasn't forgotten His people. And God will not. His brother, as the pastor said here just a little bit earlier, and he said before, Israel will prevail in all of this. Because His prophetic word declares it, beloved. Because we can see the end right from the middle or even to the beginning. It is all here. And beloved, one day, listen, they will receive their full restoration. I want to look just a little bit more here in verse 4. And the Bible says, neither shall thy land anymore be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah. And that word Hephzibah means simply, my delight in her. And beloved, God will be delighted in His people in that day. Just as, beloved, He'll be delighted with us, the church, in that day. And He says, in thy land, Beulah. Beulah is only mentioned one time in the Scriptures, right here. And the word Beulah, it is defined right here in the Word of God. It says, for the Lord delighteth in thee, that is Hephzibah, and then thy land shall be married. God's bringing them in to Himself. He's going to bring them out, all that's going on in this day and time, to bring unto Himself. God's on the move. And let me say something to you also in that restoration right now. Israel, that little piece of land, that little strip of land they got over there, they say is about 8 miles wide and about 30 miles long. And then you got the West Bank stuck right in the middle of it with that of the Palestinian people, and then in the Gaza, that of the Palestinian people. But I'm going to say this to you, beloved. In that day, they will inhabit and have possession of more than just 10% of what God gave them. In other words, there's 90% out there that they have never received. And beloved, you can see all of these other countries, Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan, and Egypt, and all the rest, my friends, they are sitting on the land that God gave His people, amen. But one day, this will change. And beloved, as we look at this, I'll move on down. I want you to keep this thought. Thy land, Beulah, and thy land, Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Verse 5, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. This is to the people of Israel. What is the promise, Pastor, to the church? Are we not the bridegroom, the bride, and Christ the bridegroom? You see all of the likenesses here that's being shared in the pictures that we have of these. Oh, listen, beloved. And then I like what it says on down in verse 11 and 12. And I'm going to try to wrap up here closely. It says, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. It will, beloved. They'll have it full and complete when the Lord comes, my friends, and all of the enemies of Israel are put down and they inherit that of the full rewards that God has given them. He says, behold, his reward is with him and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sold out, a city not forsaken. Real quickly, I'm going over to the book of Revelation. Revelation. I'm going to have to get to a Maytag ringer and ring myself out here tonight. Looking over here, I want you to show you again in reference. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, and so shall thy sons marry thee, and as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. There's a marriage going to take place in heaven. And as we look at this, we look in chapter 19. And I want to just share this with you, and then we're going to hasten to close. And then I'm going to finish up on one of the pastor's passages of Scripture, and we'll go to the house. He says, let us be glad and rejoice. That's chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Beloved, if we look back also in the book of Ephesians, it's presented to us in that of us being a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And then, beloved, it says unto us that we are to be holy without blemish. That's the church. And then he goes on to say, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Beloved, I want you to note something. There is something else of another truth. There is another feasting and another time and another place for another people. And we find that down in verse number 17, where as it says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. That's another supper. You don't want to be in that one. Beloved, let me say this to you. It says unto us in these regards, listen. The invitation, you can either accept the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, or you can be supper for the invited fowls of the air hosted by the great God of heaven. Beloved, it's either feasting on the spiritual or that of being bird food. Amen. That's exactly what it's going to and gone to right here. And then, beloved, I just look right on over here into verse 21, just real quickly. And again, I know you've heard this several times, and I'll just recap on it. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Yes. God is bringing out a people. You'll have that of the earthly, Pastor, and you'll have that of the heavenly. We'll be in New Jerusalem. We're the spiritual. We're the heavenly people. Jesus Christ, our King of kings and Lord of lords. And then, beloved, there in the land of Israel, in the restoration of that place, beloved, there will be another earthly people that's being brought forth in all of this. You've got to go back into the tribulation and all the rest of this and bring it on out and bring it on forward until you can get a grasp on this. And we'll not, obviously, we can't go there. But, beloved, as we see this, God is fulfilling that of His bringing out to bring us in. Right now, I'm waiting to be brought out of Canaan land to go to God's Beulah land for His people, the church. And I'm speaking in the like terms. You know, there's a song that came out years ago, and I think the title of it was Wedding Music. One of you singers in here might recall of what I'm speaking of, Wedding Music. And it says, The bride's adorned and ready to appear. Because he says, Is that wedding music I hear? The bride is adorned and ready to appear. There's a heavenly preparation for a wedding celebration. Is that wedding music that I hear? Listen, maybe faintly can you not hear the choir and the orchestra of heaven, the angelic host, preparing the wedding march for the bride to come unto the bridegroom. Pastor, I'm looking forward to that day. I apologize that I've only just hit and skipped and gone through this. I had probably about 2 months worth of messages I had to get in one. But I thank you for your attention. I appreciate it so very much. I hope this has been a help to you. Folks, listen, listen. It may look like we're going down, but we're really going up. You may have got topsy-turvied in your head and think otherwise, but we're going up. Every time something goes down, praise God, we're getting a little farther, closer up. Amen. Aren't you looking forward to that day? Just as it was said here in the message this morning, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Beloved, He will not tarry. He will come. Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this privilege to stand before the people, Lord. Pray, God, that You've helped here tonight, Lord, that we can be a little more encouraged within not only our lives, but within our spirit, Lord, that the new day dawning that comes every day, dear Lord, we can see it as a brighter day and also that of the new day, and a day closer to coming home. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that You'd help this Thy people, Lord, in this hour, in this time, and throughout, Lord. We surely do pray for the peace of Jerusalem, its people, Lord. God, may You continue to keep Your hand on them, Lord. We know that You will, because the Scriptures so reveal to us. So, Lord, just help us, be with us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.